Coming up next, whole lot of shaking going on. Back in the good old days of the 1930s, every health club was equipped with a big machine with a vibrating belt. This device was designed, presumably, to shake the fat right off its tubby victims without any effort or sweat. And in recent years, these vibrating weight loss machines have made a bit of a comeback, advertised with comic effect on late-night television and shopping channels. But they might be onto something with those vibrating machines, at least if they were used on mice. A team of researchers led by Dr. Clinton Rubin has found that mice, gently shaken, not stirred, apparently refuse to gain weight. It seems that a small amount of vibration actually reprograms their development, making their bones stronger and their bodies leaner. Dr. Rubin is a professor of bioengineering at the State University of New York at Stony Brook. Hi, welcome to Quirks and Quarks.
Thanks, Bob. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Now, first of all, why were you interested in studying vibrating mice?
Well, we're actually interested in mechanical signals and actually how mechanical signals can help humans preserve their bone and their bone quality as a sort of a non-drug approach to osteoporosis. And one of the problems with all of us is we don't exercise enough, so we're all trying to figure out how to put mechanical signals in without going on and putting on gym trunks and going out and running all the time. And it turns out that our work has demonstrated, or at least has led us to look at vibration, of all things, really, really small mechanical signals that are sort of crammed in together very, very closely. So we have these mice, 20 of which are in a control group and 20 of which are subject to these very, very small mechanical signals, these vibrations, for 15 minutes a day, 5 days a week, over the course of 15 weeks. And what we do is we look at how much fat they gain over time.
Well, I'm trying to picture the setup. What kind of vibrations were you giving to the mice?
So these are really, really small vibrations. Not like we're putting them, you know, on top of a jackhammer or something. Actually, these signals are so small, if you put your hand on the plate, you can barely even sense that it's on. When they're on the plate, on the vibrating plate, they basically just sort of run around and they eat, and some of them sleep, and it basically doesn't seem to disturb them in any way. And the control group are right next to them on a plate that's not turned on, and basically you can't tell the difference between the two.
Wow, that's amazing. So what difference did you see between these two groups of mice?
We were actually measuring the amount of fat in their beneath the skin, or subcutaneous fat, and around the major organs, which is called visceral fat. And we measure it with a mouse version of a CAT scan. And after 15 weeks of being subject to this signal for 15 minutes per day, we found that these mice, the experimental mice, had about 27% less adipose tissue or less fat tissue in them.
27%? That's more than a quarter less.
It was pretty shocking to us, I must say, and we just couldn't believe it. We kept thinking that, well, what are we missing here? And every time we did it, it just kept coming out with the same result.
Where did all that food energy go in the mice that were on the vibrating plate?
Well, it's a great question. It brings up our understanding, or what we think we understand, about why we actually gain weight. And most typically we think of, gee, I'm eating too many McDonald's Big Macs, or I'm eating too many Oreos. And you think of Newton's second law of thermodynamics. You know, you better start burning off the calories that you put in. This is kind of one of the curious findings of this experiment, at least as we understand it, that rather than it being a metabolic product, the sort of gaining or losing of fat, this was actually strictly a developmental process that we were actually telling fat precursors. So fat cells are called adipocytes. The precursors are the stem cells that turn into fat cells, also can become bone and muscle. And so somehow this mechanical challenge, if you think of a small buzzing as being a challenge, was convincing these precursor cells to not become adipocytes, to not become fat. They're actually becoming bone and muscle. So the calories, which are certainly important to us all so we can move around and breathe and our hearts can beat, etc., were basically being invested in the formation of bone and connective tissue.
So you're saying that these mice didn't burn off those calories by using their muscles, but the cells were actually just being redirected to become bone instead of fat.
Right. It's a very, very important point and a really important take-home message. We are not taking fat mice, whatever a fat mouse is, we're not taking fat mice and putting them on your belly shakers you were describing in your introduction and making them lose fat. There you actually have to metabolize it away. You have to burn the fat, as it were, you know, no pain, no gain. This is really quite the opposite. The reason that these animals are remaining lean, at least as we're interpreting the data thus far, is that they aren't forming as many adipocytes. They're not forming the fat cells. And without the fat cells, they can't become fat. So it's not taking a fat animal and making them skinny. It's taking a lean animal and making sure they don't become fat.
Why do you think that a simple vibration would cause this effect?
Well, that's a curious question. I mean, we wouldn't normally think of exercise as being sort of precipitated down to something like vibration. But then in reality, if you sort of step back and think of physiologic systems, your muscle is a very, very inefficient motor. And so when your muscles are contracting, they're actually vibrating, bombarding your bone tissue with these very, very small magnitude, high frequency mechanical signals. So even though exercise is important, and I certainly would emphasize to anyone listening to make sure you do go out and exercise. At the same point, we have to wonder in this big cauldron of mechanical signals that comes out of exercise, what are the important ones? What are the cells really listening to? And where we are in our own research is thinking that, wow, you don't have to be big and bad to be important. You know, these really small signals are really, really important to the cells.
So what then does this mean for humans?
Well, it means, I guess, what does it mean for humans? That's a very tempting question. I guess if you have a bunch of mice as pets and you don't want them to get fat, I mean, you could always consider putting them on vibrating plates. I mean, ultimately, we would be very, very interested in doing trials and well-controlled trials where we're able to take, let's say, kids who are susceptible to diabetes or obesity and see if we can suppress or inhibit that process. On the other hand, we are doing human trials. We're recruiting for human trials now for all things for bone and bone quality in the elderly. And instead of thinking of osteoporosis as being bone thinning, maybe we could think of it as fat expansion.
So do you think those vibrating belt machines should be brought back to gymnasiums?
I don't think that I would use one, I mean, for a number of reasons. First of all, that, again, to emphasize that once you have that adipose tissue, you got to exercise, you got to burn it off. It's the only way. The other problem or complication with vibration is it really can be quite dangerous. You know, the signals that we're giving are very, very, very small. Doesn't mean you should go out and start standing on top of jackhammers because you can cause more damage than you can do good.
Dr. Rubin, thank you very much and good luck in your work.
Thank you so much.
Dr. Clinton Rubin is a professor of bioengineering and director of the Center for Biotechnology at the State University of New York at Stony Brook.